Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, thank you for joining me for another week of fun talk about exposing the mad scientists out there. I tend to view the mad scientists as the people who would use science to harm people rather than to help them. So this past weekend, I participated in the Tempe, Arizona March Against Monsanto, and I used to think GMOs were a good thing. This is years ago, and I thought, well, this is a way of feeding the world. We'll make crops more resilient to weather and whatever they design them for. They'll be more productive. And then I started reading about what's really going on, about the farmers in India, that they're twisting the arms to, you know, to get them to use their crops, the attempt to make them Terminator seeds, which now they're denying they ever did. But, you know, the intent was you can't reuse seeds from your crops. You just have to keep buying and keep buying and keep buying from the companies that make these genetically modified crops, which that's not about feeding the world. That's about nothing but corporate profits. So, you know, the stories I read talked about a lot of the Indian farmers whose crops had failed and they couldn't replant, you know, committing suicide, and families destroyed, farms destroyed, all these things ruined. And anyway, so then I started looking more and more at these GMO crops, and a lot of them, you know, we don't really know what they're trying to do to them. You know, it's their big tinker toys. You know, what kind of crops can they produce? You know, on a segue note, I saw a virus, an Ebola virus researcher, a couple of years ago on interviewed on TV, and she just loved dissecting the virus, putting it back together, coming up with a different vaccine for each form of the virus she could make, and it was all a big game to her. It was all about, you know, playing with her tinker toy. And that's what I think they're doing with this GMO stuff. You know, what can they make out of it? Maybe it'll help mankind. Maybe it'll help the bottom line for the corporation. She was all about, well, this would be good for the economy, this Ebola thing, because that will bring more research dollars and, you know, a trickle-down effect into the economy. It's like, well, I think the economy would do better if people aren't dying of Ebola. So they haven't managed to launch Ebola vaccines, you know, or make them mandatory. The more and more people speak out on the damage that vaccines are actually doing, the less likely they are going to get people to roll up their sleeves and let them actually inject Ebola into them. Even if it's supposed to provoke your immune system into fighting it, there's all this other junk in the vaccine that people don't want in their bodies. All these metals, all these DNA fragments from, you know, animals and human fetal tissue and formaldehyde, all this other stuff. It's supposed to, like, hype up your immune system so that you attack the Ebola virus. It's like, let's just bypass the whole thing and not inject Ebola into ourselves. Anyways, that's the sideway with the vaccines. But with the GMO crops, like, what are they really trying to do? Well, so far their stated purpose is to make the crops resistant to Roundup, which is a weed killer. And a weed is just a plant that is growing where you don't want it to grow. So if you spray Roundup on the weeds, it'll kill the weeds. But if it blows onto the nearby crops, it'll kill the nearby crops. So they're looking to resistant to this weed killer. So maybe it makes it easier to harvest if you're not sorting out the weeds from it. But really what they're doing is they're harvesting these crops with these, now this Roundup on it. And, you know, maybe they don't even wash it. We just, you end up eating the crop with the Roundup on it. And whether it's a lot or a little, it doesn't matter. It can make you really sick. And I knew this when, you know, I a long, long time ago, I was trying to lose some weight. I went from white bread to whole grains, and it worked really, really well. This is about 20 years ago. It worked really well. I went to the whole grains, and I was able to lose some weight. And after a few years of that, it just didn't work anymore. And I didn't know why it didn't work anymore, but I had to give up wheat products entirely, all the whole grains and all the white breads, and you know, any kind of cake, any kind of, you know, these artesian breads that are supposed to be so healthy for you and all this stuff. I had to give it all up because it was just, I was blowing up like a balloon, and not nearly as heavy as I was in those days, because I just don't eat bread anymore, ever, unless if I'm at a birthday party, okay, I'll have a piece of cake, you know, but then I'll go home and I'll go back to how I was. So, you know, eating, I'll substitute potatoes and rice, and I know there's limits as to the potatoes and rice, too. There's white rice, which doesn't have as much nutrition as the brown rice, but there's all kinds of different kinds of rice. So I'm still, you know, battling the carb thing, but the thing that you want to do is you want to stay away from the Roundup in the food. That's the first thing you want to stay away from. And then there's all these other foods. Well, there's processed foods. There's a whole list, and I know there's websites out there that list all the foods that have been GMO'd. Wheat isn't the only one. Corn is largely GMO'd in at least the major crops of it, the large crops of the, you know, that they make the corn oil out of, and the high fructose corn syrup, all of that massive stuff, you know, massive, massive monocrops, they call them, because it's all one big crop, one big field of crop, and that stuff will kill you, because it just, you know, just drives your blood sugar level, and soda, all kinds of stuff, it's in, you know, juice, you want to buy orange juice, you have to be careful that stuff isn't in it, and it just goes on and on. So, lately, I've been following the organic foods movement, and that's a really growing thing, and that's one way that you can defend yourself from the mad scientists of the world who are manipulating the food supply. You know, grow local. Every time you want to defang some big tyrant in the sky, you go local. So there's a whole lot of issues, you know, that are involved in this, like I don't know if you follow the campaign things, everything that comes across as tyrannical, just go local. So instead of having a bureaucrat in Washington decide the curriculum that your child is going to learn, you just go local and, you know, manage it with the school boards. And so we have candidates out there calling for the removal of Common Core. There's all these other curriculums that, you know, you just want to keep it local. So you keep it to the local school board, you first the state level and the school board. And if you really, really want to take control of the curriculum that your kids are learning, you go local, and you go homeschooling. And my kids and I were involved in that for a while, and we really loved it. And then there were circumstances that, okay, we had to go to the local schools, but that's just the path our life took. But had I been able to go completely, completely local and just do homeschooling, boy, we would have done it through their whole school curriculums, their whole school careers, you know, because that movement is so big now. You know, there's lots of support out there. And I know people in California are taking a serious look at this because of the mandated vaccine issue that they have going on now, the SB 277 that their legislatures ran through despite all their protests, that their governor signed despite all their protests, and now it's pending in the courts, but now the school year's coming up, and they're getting these notices, get your kid all vaccinated up or they're not coming in here. So people either have to move or homeschool. And so I know there's people looking into it, and there are so many resources online for that, because the homeschooling movement is over 20 years old. It's over 25 years old. I think it goes back farther than that. But, you know, when my kids were a little tiny, you know, I got involved in the La Leche League just because I didn't know anybody else that was breastfeeding, and I wanted to know other people that were breastfeeding. And I met people there who were into homeschooling. I'm like, what is homeschooling? I've never heard of that. And way back then, there were people who weren't vaccinating, and I had never heard of not vaccinating in those days. That's back in the early 90s. And I'd never heard of that. And I met this family's children, and they were all happy, healthy kids, you know. And their mom managed their health, you know, with nutrition and homeopathy. Now, I have a hard time wrapping my head around homeopathy, but there are people who really, really swear by it. There are other people who swear by herbalism. And they do their own, you know, they can, it's over the counter, you know, there's now there's people's favorite herb shops. There wasn't any internet in those days, so you couldn't order online. But you know, so I guess they'd grow their own herbs, or they'd have their own shops and catalogs. They probably ordered from catalogs, maybe seed catalogs, and grew their own. I don't know. And so there was, so these two friends of mine, they, you know, they were both homeschooling, and one was an herbalist, and one was homeopathy, and I guess those two systems are a totally different mindset. And so when I went gung-ho into researching all this stuff, once I had the internet and I could do that, I started looking at nutrition, because there are so many ailments out there that their primary cause is lack of nutrition. And, you know, there's this nurse on YouTube that talks about giving vitamin C to cancer patients, and, you know, maybe it doesn't entirely get rid of the cancer, but it certainly improves their quality of life. You know, if you have an adequate vitamin C supply in your body, if you adequate vitamin D supply, everybody should be getting sunshine, you know, within the limits. I know people like to slather up with sunscreen, and now there's some research out that maybe that's not so good. And my personal experience is what really, really helps me resist getting sunburned and beat up by the sun. And I live in the Phoenix area of Arizona. This is the place to get beat up by the sun. But I can be out for several hours. And I use scents. I wear a hat. I wear sleeves. But if I eat berries, you know, a nice big, you know, handful of berries with my breakfast before going out for the day, I have very minimal reaction to the sunlight. And that's a nutrition thing. So that's how I defend myself from having to wear a bunch of sunscreen, which, you know, the manufacturers, I don't know who they are. I mean, there's lists and lists of them, and they all have their different recipes, and some say waterproof and some don't. I used to burn really badly. You know, I remember back to the day before there was sunscreen, and I would burn every summer, get a little tan on my shoulders, and my hair would, you know, actually streak because I would spend more time in the sun. I was in upstate New York than I ever possibly could in Arizona. And so I would get these, like, lighter streaks in my hair, and it was a natural thing. Now people do that artificially all the time with hair dyes and things. But, if I had known in those days, if I just eat berries, then I might not have had those sunburn experiences when I was a kid. There was one when I was about 19. SPF 8 had just been invented. And I went out on my uncle's boat, and I forgot to bring my sunscreen. So I borrowed a friend's, who was SPF 4, because he didn't ever burn. He just tanned, you know. So I borrowed his SPF 4, and it didn't do a thing for me. And I was really, really bad. I probably should have been in the hospital, but I toughed it out, and I was in pain for 6 weeks with this horrible, horrible sunburn. So this was decades ago. I have not developed any skin cancer. And hopefully I'm eating well enough now to avoid that. You know, but in those days, too, we didn't have the massive farming. Yes, we have. I'm talking about the year-round fruits. In those days, berries were a very seasonal thing. And, yes, berries were a summer thing. But, you know, the mass transit and the delivery systems that we have now, I can go into Fry's anytime now and buy berries. And I know there's some people that will only buy organic all the time. But if I can't buy organic, you know, whether it's a money thing or whether they just don't have them in stock that day, you know, they'll often have sales on these little carts of berries, you know, for a buck. And you can, you know, maybe they say limit four, so you go through the aisle a few times, you know, through the checkout a few times. But I'll stock up on these boxes of berries, and I'll stick them in the freezer. Because, you know, they don't keep that long. You know, if you just put them in the fridge, you got to eat the whole thing faster or they go bad. But I put them in the freezer and then make my smoothie up, you know, with, you know, banana and whatever fruit I've got. Usually it's a banana and a citrus and the berries. You know, maybe I'll throw some seeds or something in, if, you know, really good blender. Or sometimes I don't. That's my basic recipe, and I just really enjoy that, the bananas and the citrus. And it, right now, I still have a few lemons left on the tree, and I don't understand. I have one orange tree that is now producing lemons, so I think I have some graft that it must have been a grafted tree, and it took off, and now half the tree is lemons. I really would have preferred the oranges, but, you know, because they have one whole lemon tree and one tree that's half lemon, half orange now. And oh golly, well, we'll have to I guess get another tree. you know, that's my thing with the berries, but there's other things too. Yeah, well, you can. There are vitamin D supplements that you can take, because so many diseases, if you drill down into them, are related to vitamin D deficiency. And you know, I had family history. You know, my dad died of a whole bunch of things, a whole bunch of ailments. They couldn't even fit them all on his death certificate. And you know, I wasn't living nearby at the time, and I didn't understand the extent of his illnesses until he was almost, you know, gone. And once he was gone, I had more time to read. And, you know, I moved closer to my mom, and you know, I'm trying to keep things on an even keel with her, and hopefully minimize her doctor contacts, because now we know doctors are the third leading cause of death in the U.S. That was the news in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, if you can keep yourself healthy, keep your blood pressure regulated, you know, through nutrition and kind of minimize exposure to the system, then you're better off. And so, yes, I still shop in the grocery store. I'm trying my hand at gardening. I watch gardening YouTube, you know, gardeners on YouTube. And I just found out today that some of them are a little bit not as experienced as others. You know, I'm trying this organic gardening thing, and my next step is to try the indoor hydroponics, because you know, the heat of Arizona is pretty hard on the plants, and some plants are really heat resistant, and you have to get seeds for these exotic things called Malabar spinach and Egyptian spinach, things that like the heat. But my tomato plants don't look so good. I planted four kinds of cucumbers, and one looks okay. The other three kind of don't. But there's always the fight with the bugs. And that's what I really, really don't like. And so so now I'm trying to learn the indoor hydroponics, and I've been doing the sprouts for a while, and, you know, just providing your own food where you can, you know, just bit by bit disconnecting yourself from the system. And anyway, if you want to talk about ways that you resist the system, the number to give us a call here is 347-324-3704. Again, that's 347-324-3704. And if you go to freedomizerradio.com, the number's right there, or it's on my madscientist.exposed website, the number's right there. You can just listen in, you know, by calling that number, or if you'd like to speak, you know, call that number and then hit 1, dial 1, and I'll see your little icon pop up here, and you can join the show. You know, favorite ways of avoiding the system. The hydroponics is kind of interesting, because you can set it up to, you know, run these machines, a little pump. It's kind of like aquarium pumps, but instead of pumping air, like air bubbling into a fish aquarium, you're cycling water past roots, and you do it without dirt, and you have these nutrients that you've added to the water, and they just keep running past the roots and produce and all that. And what I'm hearing is the lettuces and the leafy greens are the easiest, because you don't have to wait for a blooming cycle and making sure everything's pollinated, because, you know, if you're indoors without the bugs, you're going to have to pollinate everything yourself. And it isn't too difficult. You just, you know, take the male part of the flower and touch it to the female part of the flower, and you should have your fruit, you know, your strawberries or your tomatoes or your cucumbers. And I'm no expert on this yet. I'm on the learning curve for this, but there are people on YouTube doing it. But I just learned today that something I was going to try with potatoes, there are all these videos out there, you know, you get a big pot, you put some dirt in it, you put a few seed potatoes, I call them. They're just small potatoes, so they have some eyes starting on them. Put them in there, cover them over, and when the green comes up, then you you didn't hear that beep. But the green comes up, and you put more dirt on it, and you make it grow up, and you keep piling dirt on the plant as it grows up top of the to the top of the pot, and then when it's ready, you dump it all out, and you have this pot full of potatoes. You know, well, I just found out that's not really how potatoes work. One of my, you know, trusted gardening shows, he says, look, there's these other gardeners out there telling you to do this, but I promise you, it cannot work. There's no way for it to work. That's not how potatoes work. What they're doing is they're cutting in and they're adding more seed potatoes as it grows up to the top. And sure, it's a great way to grow potatoes vertically, but why they're saying that you don't have to add more seed potatoes along the way, he doesn't know, other than maybe they're just inexperienced and they're telling you how to do these things without really trying them first. And so he's tried them. He's intimately familiar with potatoes. Maybe that's not the way to word it, but he's, you know, understands, you know, he's got all these college classes that he's been doing. He's a, I don't know, farming student, whatever. This is how potatoes work. You have to keep adding the seed potatoes as you go. But then you can get your big pot of potatoes. So maybe you add, you know, 5 or 6 potatoes, and then when you're done, you have, you know, your full pot of potatoes. And anyway, so that's just, you know, growing your own food is a way of avoiding the GMOs. But, of course, another way, well, when you still have to grocery shop, you have your list of the crops that are being GMO'd, and pretty much everything in a package, every processed food has some GMO food in it, because almost everything has wheat products in it, flour, you know, wheat flour and noodles. Most of the soups have noodles in them, and I have to sort through the soups and pick the ones that just have potatoes in them or just have rice in them, you know, and they're vegetables. And then there's certain other vegetables that I guess are GMO'd. I don't think there are any lettuces like that. I've heard there are some zucchinis like that. And, of course, right now in Arizona, I'm not aware of any GMO labeling. I haven't found it. Cucumbers. And because I haven't succeeded in growing any yet. And I don't believe cucumbers are GMO'd. But it's really easy to Google up and just compare it with your regular shopping list. And if something says it's GMO'd, well, then you just toss that off your shopping list and change to something else. And like I have this whole freezer full of freezer food, you know, the bagged corn and bagged the broccoli and the green beans and all that stuff. And now I have this recall notice from my grocery store. Oh, these, you know, you have to check it against these lot numbers so that you don't get. We have a recall because there's a possible listeria in it, and that's, I guess, it's something that'll make you really sick if you get any of it in your system. So that's all sitting there waiting for me to compare my lot numbers to it. But in the meantime, if I bring home lettuce and cucumbers and tomatoes, maybe they're not, they might not be organic, depending on what's available and what I can afford that day. But I end up usually just chopping up and making a salad with dinner because, you know, I was raised in the day my mom said, okay, a meat, a carb, and a vegetable. So the vegetable I've almost entirely replaced most of the time with raw vegetables. And, you know, that's hopefully I'm doing the right thing. And, anyway, nutrition is the way to go. If something's really bothering me and I'm looking for an answer for it, I'll Google up what's the nutritional way of solving this. You know, I'll just type in nutrition for this ailment or that ailment, and quite often I'll find something. And that's kind of how I found the thing with the berries and the sunburn. I stumbled on a video by Mike Adams, who's the Natural News Health Ranger, and he was talking about B-complex vitamins making you resistant to sunburn. So then I just Googled, okay, what's the source of B-complex vitamins? And I got a big long list, and berries was prominent on the list. So that's what sticks in my head. And, you know, if I guess I should have printed it out and stuck up lists all over my kitchen, and then that would be kind of fun. So maybe I'll do that with some more things. So, again, if you have favorite ways of bypassing the system and staying healthy, the number is 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. And if you'd like to join us on air, just dial one, and I'll see your number come up. So I guess it's a little bit of time here for a break. I'll give you a couple of fun promos and an ad. So we'll be right back.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Okay, so I'm back, and I didn't want to scare anybody about hydroponics out there. The method out there that doesn't use the pump, so that if, you know, the big thing happens, whatever they're saying it's going to be, and the grid goes down, there is a method that doesn't use electricity. And, you know, yes, it uses water, so hopefully you've already got your system, you know, full of the water. But it's called the Kratky method, K-R-A-T-K-Y, and that's where you have your plant in a container, has its little, sitting in its little rock nest at the top, and or marble nest or whatever you support it with, and its roots hang down into the nutrient solution. But instead of getting the aeration that the roots need through running water, you use a container that's only partially full, so the roots are partially exposed to air just below the plant, and then below that, the roots hang into the solution, and you just refill it once in a while, you know, however long it takes that container to run down, you know, the plant soaks up the water and respirates it out, or puts it in the fruit that it's making for you. And so there are some really, they look like they're really easy. I'm not the expert. I had, you know, I'm just taking these people's word for it. But, you know, there's so many different ones. Yes, I know they agreed on the potatoes and they shouldn't have. But this hydroponic thing looks like it really works, like the Kratky method. And some of them out there are harvesting some pretty darn big heads of lettuce. So that gives me hope for it. I've got my little packet of seeds here. And, you know, at the March Against Monsanto the other day, I did hear somebody from the stage say that, well, if the seed is not marked organic, then you're getting GMO. But not all crops have been GMO'd. It might have come from a plant that had, you know, pesticides on it or something. But, you know, the size of the seed, you know, provided it germinates, the plant is going to contain what you feed it. And, you know, if there's any leftover pesticide on the shell of the seed, and hopefully that falls away as the plant grows, and it's a tiny amount anyway, you know, so, you know, you're avoiding the seeds. But, you know, you do the best you can do for yourself. You know, there are, I know there's purists out there, and purists, I don't know, I think they defeat themselves sometimes. They make life harder on themselves. And, you know, so I don't, from my understanding, if the GMO seeds are, primarily reserved for the major large farmers out there that, you know, they're large monocrops of fields of the same thing for miles and miles and miles. And, you know, once you start gardening and you have your pots of, you know, this is my onions and this is my lettuce and this is my tomatoes and this is my moringa, you know, this is my, I think, I've got a volunteer that I think is amaranth. It's growing awfully big, awfully fast. I think that's what it is. But, you know, then when you look out on a field of all the same thing, as far as the eye can see, it feels really kind of strange, you know, because you're used to tending to different plants and they all have different needs, like all their little, like little children, your little doggies, you know, they have their little, their little preferences. Oh, this likes this treat and that likes that flavor, and they know different tricks, and some like the heat and some don't, and it's you know, they all have their personality. So maybe I'm anthropomorphizing too much on my plants. You know, it's kind of nice, you know, I bring home a bunch of green onions from the store, and I haven't even tried my onion seeds yet, because I'll eat the green part of the green onion, and then that little white part at the end with the roots hanging off it, instead of throwing it in the garbage or in the compost, you can put it in a pot of dirt and keep it watered, and it'll grow. And you can regrow that several times and just keep cutting off your green onions. And I've discovered something that those actually taste better than when you first bought them. So you buy this, you know, this bunch of green onions, and yeah, it's green onions, it tastes all right. But once you grow it in your little pot of, you know, organic soil, and it's getting the sun and the air and, you know, the water that you give it, it's got a more delicate flavor, but more flavorful. It's just, you know, kind of funny the way that works. So I much prefer my own onions over now the store-bought ones, even though my onions get their start as store-bought onions. So what can I tell you? So, the number here is 347-324-3704, 347-324-3704. And give us a call if you want to listen in, or if you want to participate in the conversation. You know, just dial that number and then dial 1, and you'll, you know, I'll pick up and we'll have a nice chat. And that'll be fun. So there's the next level now of defending yourself from the mad scientists in the world is medicine. And doctors are the number 3 cause of death in the U.S., whether they misdiagnose or they overprescribe or they prescribe the wrong thing, or there's mishaps in surgery, people get infections after surgery. There's, you know, all kinds of ways that, I mean, things can go wrong. I know my dad's first ailment was compromised kidneys, and that was caused by an antibiotic. They just didn't tell him, and we didn't have the internet to just download package inserts in those days. If they didn't hand it to you or tell you, you didn't know that that particular antibiotic could do kidney damage if you didn't drink enough water. Well, we had just moved out to Arizona from New York, and we weren't accustomed to drinking as much water as we need in Arizona. when we first moved out in those first couple of years. And he ended up with kidney damage. And over the long term, he ended up on dialysis. He had a transplant for a while, all the things that can go on. The transplant, they didn't balance his anti-rejection drugs right, and he ended up losing that kidney and going back on dialysis, and he was till the end of his life. And it's a hard life. You have to think of it as a part-time job. You go to the dialysis center 3 or 4 times a week for half a day, and you just hooked up to this machine that just filters your blood. And I don't believe it's changed really in all the years that they've been doing it. There seems to be a McDialysis center on every street corner. If you know where to look, they're set back from the road and stuff. But, yes, they have these home dialysis systems where, my dad tried that for a while, and he was in the really early days where it wasn't computerized and timed and all that stuff. He had to, scrub the table down, and he had this port, and he would put the fluid in, and he'd watch his cooking shows, as he liked to watch the cooking shows while that process was on a timer, and then he had to drain it out. And it was dangerous. The doctor said, eventually 100% of people on this CAPD method, they called it, eventually get peritonitis. Well, he never did get the peritonitis. He had to go back on regular, that's what it was. A transplant did come through for him at the time, so that's, he stopped doing the CAPD, and that transplant only worked, a couple of years. And he had, so when he lost the transplant, he decided to go back on regular dialysis, where the nurse has all control of everything, and you're not worried about scrubbing down, the table that you're working on and all your tools and hands and scrubbing like a surgeon, actually several times a day. And the people that are doing that now, I guess those systems, you do them in your sleep overnight, and it's computerized. So you scrub down once, and the system processes it. And it's still a hard way to live. It's a hard way to live. If at all possible, you don't want to ever damage your kidneys. There are some claims out there on rare websites and rare videos that there are nutritional ways you can heal your kidneys. I think it's probably depending on what injured them in the first place. So, Everything. I know Google gets demonized a lot, but my search results tend to be better with that search engine. I have a friend that prefers DuckDuckGo. There's a lot of search engines out there. Don't just rely on one. There's this mindset, yes, Google is selling all your email to the government, and it probably is, and of course it's importing the ads into your email if you're using Gmail. And it's tracking everything you do. But so far in my life, I think it has benefited me more than not. And so, yes, it's a trade-off. Do I want to use an Android phone, which is the Android operating system is made by Google. So, it's that or Apple. And I don't necessarily trust Apple. So we all just move through life. These tools are wonderful as long as we use them for good and not for weaponizing, and we have to be aware that there are people out there looking to weaponize these tools. But I know there are people that just won't have a cell phone, and there's people that hardly use any email, and I don't know. It just depends how you want to live your life. So my point is, though, with the medicine and the doctors, you want to solve things yourself nutritionally, or if you find an herb or a homeopathic method that works for you, that might be better. I guess there's some things that doctors, you have to have a doctor do, like if you break a leg. I don't think it's even illegal for you to set a broken leg unless you're a doctor, so you go have the doctors do it. That's an injury type of thing. That's not a long-term ailment. But if something's wrong with me, I'm like, what do I need to eat to fix it? Or if I've actually got some kind of an infection with a fever or whatever, I like to take garlic for that. And sometimes it works really, really well. But sometimes it doesn't work so well. So it might need something else, like more vitamin C in my diet or whatever. And I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, we talked a bit about electronic medicine. There are options out there. There's these zappers that put a microcurrent of a specific positive frequency through your body. You don't feel it, but it can take out many types of pathogens and stuff. And there's the old the video that's going around of the woman that was in Indiana Jones, the first Indiana Jones movie that they made. I guess now there's prequels and sequels and whatever, but her name is Karen Allen. If you go to YouTube and just put in a search on Karen Allen Lyme disease, there's a radio interview there where she talks about a zapper. And she had been through years with doctors and antibiotics, and just constant doctors and antibiotics, and she was so sick of Lyme disease. And somebody suggested that she go see this chiropractor who had a zapper in her office there. And she went in and spent the day or the morning on this thing, and after that, her symptoms were gone. So that's all she can say about it. You know, you can't use the word cure. That's practically illegal if you say that. But she had full-blown Lyme disease. She went in, she used this thing according to, you know, the chiropractor suggested how to use it for how many hours and all this kind of stuff. And the next day, her symptoms were gone. And they hadn't come back. And she says, okay. So she went and she bought the same model zapper that the doctor had. She keeps it in her house. If she feels an ailment coming on, she'll use it and that kind of stuff. And there are a lot of different types out there. And there's rating systems. And, you know, you can comparison shop and different price points and all that. And I feel safer having one in my house just because, you know, there was another incident with, you know, my mom. She had a serious ailment and it just... You know, she had to be hospitalized for a while with it, and it just became really obvious that they didn't want to know what was wrong. They gave her this horrible, horrible maintenance drug that was destroying her life, and they didn't want to find out what was wrong, stumbled on what was wrong at the time, and now she just uses the zapper once in a while to make sure that nothing like that ever comes back. And it's kind of, there's stuff out there that people don't talk about that are pretty bad, you know. If you ever see somebody with wounds that won't heal or digestive issues that won't heal, you know, it's not polite company, you know, to talk about, but there's some pretty awful things out there. And if they can, you know, keep you from dying, then that's great for them, for the system. But if you actually solve the problem and you're healthy again, that's not so great for the system, but that's great for humanity, for human beings, individuals. And, you know, the system is supposed to be serving the people. The people aren't supposed to be serving the system. That gets the whole meaning of life upside down. So certainly you want to do what you can for yourself, because that's the ultimate decentralization of power. And the more you can decentralize power and take the power back for yourself, the better you'll be. And I always kind of wondered about people who, and I've had relatives that do this, that just if that person has a white coat on and they're an authority figure with the white coat, they're going to take whatever they're told to take, and they're going to pay whatever consequence they're going to pay, because that's the authority figure. And I'm like, you know, don't you even want to know what I've read about this? How you can free yourself from that drug and that side effect? And they don't even want to try it. Now, a friend of mine had, you know, he really, really prefers his herbal methods that he's been doing since he was very young. His parents were from the old country in Eastern Europe, and I think that's where he got some of that attitude. You know, you just have your garden and you have your herbs and you know, take this for that and that for that, and this is how you stay healthy. Anyway, that's how he's been living his life, and with very rare contact with doctors. Well, he saw a doctor for the first time in many years a couple weeks ago, and the doctor's like, your blood pressure is really high, so we'll have to check it again the next time you come, because we want to make sure it's not just what they call white coat blood pressure, where you're just nervous around a doctor. And so the next doctor he saw, he was, you know, going down the chain to see some specialists. Then he wanted to take care of his blood pressure before somebody wrote him an actual prescription. So he, you know, was looking at what foods, and I suggested take the wheat out of your diet, because that actually helped another relative of mine that stopped wheat in her diet, and her blood pressure dropped like a stone. She had to get off her blood pressure medicine because it was putting her to sleep all the time, because her blood pressure was too low. But so he tried that. He got off the wheat, and he took some herbs that a friend recommended to him. a combination of teas, and he would mix his teas. And the next the next doctor he saw, his blood pressure had dropped 50 points down to normal. And he's like, you know, said, wow, so loud that they retook the blood pressure to make sure the machine was calibrated. This is kind of a funny story. So we have a caller, and I'm going to say hello. Hi, you're on the
hello.
Air. Hi.
Oh,
is
great.
It Ed?
Well, I heard my name mentioned, so I called right in.
Oh,
and
I didn't mention your name.
It's Ed. It's
Ed.
Am I on?
Yes.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say I have the tea right here. It's called Traditional Medicinals Herbal Tea. And the person that gave me this prescription, or rather this idea to try this, has had heart problems and blood pressure problems for a number of years, and he's kind of calmed things down now, and he's leading a normal life. And anyway, he told me to mix, to take one tea bag of chamomile, organic chamomile, and one tea bag of mint, and to put them in, you know, hot water and let them steep for like 10 minutes, you know, and sip. And I only did this, let's see, I guess it was, you know, one night, and then the next morning, then the next evening, then the next day was my next doctor's appointment. So the thing only had like 2 days to bring down my blood pressure, like almost 50 points. I think it's hilarious that
but
that worked.
But you changed diet too, right?
I changed my diet, and I'll tell you what I did. I cut down on salts dramatically because I'm almost addicted to things like barbecue potato chips, you know, and salty fish. And my ancestry is from the Baltic, you know, the Baltic Sea area, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, you know, and they love the smoked herring and, I mean, pickled herring and, you know, all kinds of different fish and sardines and stuff. And so I guess those are not that good for me because they're just packed with salt. And I was having like maybe 4 cans a week, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, and about 6 big bags every month of barbecue potato chips. So for the last week that I knew that I had a high blood pressure, I cut back on all of that. So I was cutting back the diet. And then I took the herb tea. And also I stopped coffee for the last, as much as I can stand, like about 2 days I didn't have any coffee. Because I'm about a 4-cup-a-day coffee drinker.
Wow, that's kind of high.
I was just astounded. You know, I thought maybe I'd bring my blood pressure down like 10 points. No, it was like 47 points or something. You know, it was just amazing. And while I'm on, I might as well tell you about a client, old friend of mine who is a subway operator in New York City. And he found that he had high blood pressure, you know, and he had to go to the doctor.
Wow.
And I mean, it was pretty serious, actually. And he also had diabetes, as it turned out. So the guy prescribes him, you know, very serious medicine. I don't know if I even remember what it was. So this first side effect was digestive problems. Then he noticed that he had muscle and joint pains. And then finally, he was getting dizzy. He was having dizzy spells. He was thinking, how can I operate a subway train with 500 people on it if I can get dizzy, you know, and maybe pass out? So since I had him on the phone, he doesn't like to go to doctors too much. I said, geez, I don't know. Why don't you take some supplements? What would happen if you cut back on the recommended dose by just, I don't know, you know, take it half as often or take half as much and get some medicinals? I mean, some
well, that's kind of scary, you know, because
alternative,
you know,
alternative medicine.
Yeah, you and I
Pardon?
Aren't licensed. You and I, we're not licensed. We just Google things up, and if we can solve it before diagnosis, that's wonderful,
well,
you know?
Listen, but this is amazing because it's a very short story. So what happened was, as soon as he cut the dosage on his prescription medicine by 50%, all the gall-darn side effects went away. The side effects, the muscle aches and pains and the nausea and the, you know, and the dizziness all went away. And then
what
happened
to his diabetes and his blood pressure?
Well, what happened was, he had type 2 diabetes. And for that, he simply had to stop having 2 Big Macs at lunch. He had a habit for months. He had been having 2 Big Macs with the French fries, and he called it a large sweet tea. Now, I don't know what sweet tea is, but that's what he was having. And I think that's what put him over the top.
Yeah.
It was a terrible mix. So anyway, he goes back to the doctor. about a month and a half later or 2 months later, the doctor, you know, takes all the testings. He says, you're doing really good. You're doing better than I thought you would. As a matter of fact, your symptoms are, and he went away smiling, you know, because he only took Aptamen, but he was using supplements from an herbal store, you know, and successfully.
So he never told the doctor that he had cut his own dosage.
Actually, no, and I think he outlived the doctor. I think the doctor finally went into retirement or something, and he was still doing this. And then the next one, he never even prescribed the meds, you know, or something. It was some clever thing like that that he did. He finally stopped taking the meds altogether. Now, I'm not advocating that.
How is he doing nowadays?
This is going on 3 years. And he's still operating a train, you know, on the regular route on the New York City subway. And he does not have any of those dangerous side effects that taking the drugs made him have.
Well, and you might ask him how his blood pressure and diabetes are doing. I mean, did he get rid of them?
I think he's taking his own blood pressure, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's within bounds, you know, because he's also going to see a doctor every couple months. And so you know, if he was having a serious blood pressure problem right now, they would take him off the line. He would not be working, and he realizes that, you know.
Is it a company doctor?
It's the kind of thing where the management company sends its you know, drivers and other employees, conductors, et cetera, you know. Absolutely. And they're very busy. They've got a lot of people. They have 16,000 people or something working in that area of New York City transit. But it's worked for him. But the secret for him was cutting back on things like a large sweet tea every day and two Big Macs.
Yeah.
I mean, two Big Macs per day is crazy. Don't you agree?
Crazy. Yeah.
Two Big Macs. Just for lunch.
But that's I think I have one Big Mac every 6 months
for
just for old time's sake.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I did it. So,
you did what?
Well, I'll have one Big Mac every 6 months just for old time's sake, just to remind myself how sick I am after I eat a Big Mac. And I'm like, okay, I won't do that again.
Yeah, I think I could maybe do that once or twice, and that would be it. They have a movie called Super Size Me or something like that, where this guy, this is a common story. I don't know if you've talked about this yet. But the guy went to McDonald's for all his meals, three times a day, four times a day. He'd go to McDonald's, and he was perfectly fit. He had a medical, you know, checkup before he went. Everything was fine: liver function, kidneys, heart. Everything was fine. So to cut the long story short, after 300 meals at McDonald's or whatever it was after a month, I think it was maybe 2 months, And he was starting to have serious problems with his liver and stomach and gallbladder and God knows what, you know. So, diet is extremely important, extremely important.
Wow.
And, of course, they've cut back on that. They're not supersizing anymore from what I've heard.
Yeah.
We'd probably all be better putting a bunch of veggies in a crock pot, you know, and having some nice soup from a natural source, you know, and not doing the processed food thing. That's what I'm trying to do, is keep away from some of the processed foods now, you know?
Yeah. I got to say, though, I do enjoy McDonald's salads. And I'm sure they're not GMO. I mean, I'm sure they're not organic. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But I do, you know, what can I say? They're not Big Macs.
I got to tell you my secret. I've been in McDonald's like 300 times. I've never had one of their salads. What are they like?
They're good. They're really good. They have that Asian, Asian chicken or something like that. And the other thing that bothered me is they said, okay, it has, you know, the chicken and the lettuce and peas in there, but they sure look like soybeans to me. And they look and taste like soybeans, but they called them peas. And, you know, well, it's a little shell.
Do they make them in the United States, or do they ship them over from China with their soybeans?
I don't know where they get them. But they're little green. They look like peas, but they're oblong. You know, they're not.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you know, I hear good things about soy and bad things about soy, and so I'm a little confused on soy, and so I don't make a big thing. I guess you can buy soybean oil and stuff, and I guess the soybean oil is GMO'd. Uh-huh. I think I think soy is among the GMO crops. So you kind of want to stay away from that. But I don't know if it's the same soybeans as they use in the salad. I don't know. So
wow,
I guess I need to do more research for myself. I've been researching so much other stuff. Like if I could grow my own pea pods, I would. I tried it, and then the weather heated up on me, and they died. I have to try again. Try them indoors with some Kratky hydroponics. Try that.
I have heard that you have amazing little tomatoes, and that you have some kind of black tomatoes. What the heck are those anyway?
Oh yeah, black plum tomatoes. They taste like plums to me. And there's a lot of different types of black tomatoes, but that particular type, just they're so dark purple, they're almost black, and then the inside is a purple instead of a red, and they taste like plums without the pits. But
fantastic.
I need to go feed my plants and make them grow more of them, you know, because I think I picked the last of them.
And then you're going to go into hydroponics, are you?
For spinaches. You know, a box of spinach in fries is like $5, you know, for a box of spinach. And I have to eat huge handfuls of it because, you know, other people in the household don't really like spinach. But I love it. Like, I stir fry it up in my omelets, or, you know, stir fry is really nice, or I'll put it in salad, or I like to wilt it into soup. So, you know, no matter what comes out of the cabinet, yes, a canned processed soup, yeah, I'll do that sometimes.
Yeah.
But if I just wilt the spinach into it, it just gives it a whole more lively taste. And, and this nice wilted spinach and floating around in there, and it's so colorful and healthy looking, and it's better than just straight soup without the spinach. But, you know, we're all on our path, you know, I know there's a lot of... at least compared to the vegetarians I watch on YouTube. It's like, I'm not a vegetarian, but, you know, I eat more vegetables than I used to.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm getting there someday. I don't know.
Well, that's great. I've been known to go months and months and months eating processed foods, snack foods, junk foods.
Oh,
and I cannot remember anything green that I've eaten. Nothing green at all. No leafy veggies, no salads, no nothing. So now I've really revolutionized my life by trying to have something green every day, you know?
Yeah.
Trying to, even if it's an avocado.
I know avocados are full of good stuff for you. You know,
yum,
healthy fats and the healthy this and the healthy vitamins. Mm. Some of the gardeners I watch on TV, they like to juice like 2 heads of lettuce a day with their carrots and all their other things from their, you know, their garden or their organic shopping. And it's like, I don't think
it's a huge garden. It must be a huge garden to have 2 heads a day. Oh, yikes.
This is John Kohler, growingyourgreens.com. He'll juice a couple heads a day. Because he's got actually 3 channels on YouTube. One is growingyourgreens.com. The other is OK Raw. So one, he's talking about gardening and how to garden. And the other is he's talking about how to eat it.
Is John Kohler the guy who looks like he's getting younger and younger over the last couple of years?
Yes, and I did blog an article about that on Mad Scientist Pose. I mean, you can be mad and you can be genius, you know, and if you look at his videos from 5 years ago, he definitely looks younger now. And now I think I know why. He does consume so much lettuce. You know, I have this friend on Facebook that she's selling this supplement, and it contains hyaluronic acid, which I guess it's a nutrient your skin uses to be young. It actually is very, very nutritious for your skin. And, you know, and she has this, she'll teach you how to sell the supplement, and she claims, you know, people can make some really good money at it, but, I haven't jumped in on it yet, but I did like I did with the B vitamins with Mike Adams. You know, what's a food source of B vitamins? I googled up what's a food source of hyaluronic acid, and it's lettuce. And so that's how he's doing it. He's juicing, you know, a couple of heads of lettuce a day is part of his juices. And he's one of those vegans, but he's not a vegan with an attitude. There was another gardener actually in the Phoenix area who he's a vegan, and he's, you know, grows his garden. He does his gardening videos, but he got really, he had a video where he was really, really nasty to meat eaters. And he, you know, he tells a story on how he walked through a store and he was talking about, he confronted a meat eater and I just didn't like it. And I've never watched another one of his videos because I am not in a place where I can do that yet. You know, and certainly if I ever did it, I wouldn't be judgmental about it because I just can't, you know. I don't know, but you know what? You know, I'm a Christian, and Jesus Christ ate fish and he ate lamb. Those are two things that I know he ate.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like, okay, I'm not a vegetarian yet, you know. What?
What did they have at the Last Supper? Was it a lamb?
Well, I believe it's lamb is yeah, it's part of the Seder meal,
right?
I believe. You know, that's. I would have to confirm that with a Jewish friend. You know, but I'm pretty sure that that's part of it. And you know, anyways, that's my background. That's part of the reason I'm not a meat eater yet. The other part is other people in my household are not ready to. To go vegetarian, they're just not ready. And I would,
but
you know,
you
I'd be
ready?
Setting up to go vegetarian.
Are
I don't know. I was
ready
really,
to go vegetarian.
There was a really interesting article on the front page of Drudge today about this new company that's they make meat substitutes and they're trying to make this it's made out of peas and other secret elements of his recipe where beet juice. So he makes this meat substitute, and if you cut into it, actually bleeds this beet juice. And it looks, the idea was he was trying to encourage his meat-eating friends to move over to vegetarianism by eating this meat-taste-like look-alike thing. And it's like, I'm not that gung-ho that my vegetables have to taste like meat. You know, I've experimented with making lentil burgers, you know, with eggs, which are not vegan, they're vegetarian, you know, eggs and lentils and whatever things you can pack in there, you know, to make like lentil burgers. And I'm happy with that. I don't have to have it bleed beet juice. You know?
Well, I think I would pass over on that one if it has beet juice in it to simulate blood from meats or something like that, you know, to make it look
well,
more
yeah,
red.
But you know what? But beet juice is supposedly really, really healthy, you know?
Well, now, getting back to John Kohler, so you said that he has all this lettuce, right? When I lived in California for years, I was in the Bay Area, not a real fancy neighborhood. You know, the place that has lots and lots of shops, you know, where all you go is you get smoothies and stuff like that, you know. So what is all with the alfalfa juice? When I remember from being in California 10 years ago, they were having alfalfa sprout juice, you know, mostly. And I don't think I've ever seen lettuce on the menu anywhere for juicing, you know, for juices. So that really surprises me. Lettuce would be used again. Yeah.
Some things wilt really fast. Like you have to consume it as soon as you've juiced it or as soon as you've picked it. And I know there are some vegetables that you just can't get in the grocery store because it wilts right away. And, you know, it's kind of funny. There's one it's a weed, supposedly weed, that grows all over the country, and it's mallow. It's, you know, I first heard of it called Malvin neglect. I took this herbalism walk, you know, through the desert. And if you pick it and, you know, throw it in your salad or throw it in your soup or stir fry. It tastes just like spinach. It wilts really fast. It won't make the trip to a grocery store. So I think that's why it's not cultivated, you know, as a crop for feeding the masses. But I guess the story was that back in the day, about 20 years ago, they were trying to teach the homeless people in Tucson to eat this mallow that grows in all the alleys and mainly in the springtime, but it's super, super healthy. It's like as healthy as spinach. And they were trying to teach the homeless people to eat this stuff, but it became politically incorrect, you know, because you're trying to teach the homeless to eat weeds and they have better dignity than that. To eat weeds, but, you know, it's a gift from God, this stuff growing everywhere. But, you know, as long as, you know it hasn't been sprayed with a pesticide, you know, some truck coming down the alley, or it hasn't been watered by dogs, that kind of thing, you know, you got to be careful where you pick this stuff, you know, and if it's, but So they kind of backed off that. But it was just a fun story. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. if people just knew what was, you know, really healthy out there, they could avoid, you know,
yeah.
maybe feed themselves if this apocalypse comes that they're talking mm-hmm. about, if, you know, can recognize mm-hmm. what to eat, what not to eat. But I think we're a little bit past the season uh-huh. for mallow in Arizona right now.
I don't know mallow very well, and I don't know if I'd know it if I saw it. But something that's very common almost everywhere across the whole country is dandelion, you know? And people
oh, yeah.
will regularly think it's a weed and they kill it and they spray it with, you know, crap to kill it and stuff, Roundup or whatever. But actually, dandelions attract the butterflies. I heard somewhere that they were having
really?
A corridor of dandelion through somewhere through mid-America there. They were trying to get acres and acres of, like, a long strip of dandelions, because then the butterflies would have something to eat, you know, that was safe for them. There's some kind of sad story like that. You know, these weeds have been almost exterminated, and a lot of the nice insects and everything with it, you know. There's not all bad insects. Say, when you were a kid, did you ever go out into, like, a field and look for bugs, you know, like when you're about maybe 10 or 11 years old? Did you ever have, like maybe in fifth grade, you have to go and collect some bugs, you know, for school? I used to love that.
My sister had a bug catcher, and she caught this this big, I don't know what it was, juvenile
cricket,
something.
Was it a Jerusalem cricket?
No.
It's like a big,
I don't know what
cricket.
That is. No, it was a big yellow slug. It looked like a toy. Mm. It looked like something you would get out of a candy machine. It looked like a toy that, you know, a little boy would like, little, you know, bugs in his pockets, you know, little rubber.
Are you sure it wasn't an alien creature?
It looked like an alien creature. And it was just from our neighbor across the street. So they had to be around. Mm. And she brought this thing home, and she's showing it to my mom. And, oh, that's so cute, you know, that you put your little toy in the, and then it moved. It started, like, creeping up the side of the catcher, and my mom was like,
yeah.
And, you know, it was, you know, if it wasn't damaging their plants, you know, I think they had a little garden in that yard too, but maybe it would feed a bird or something. I mean, everything has a good reason,
yeah.
except for white
sure.
flies. I don't know about those white flies.
Oh, yeah.
they suck the life out of my tomato plants.
There might be some bugs that have a very powerful mental development that they could influence human beings, because I did almost exactly the same thing once. I was at a Walmart store about 3 blocks away from the place I used to live, and they had a little magazine rack outside, and I looked, and on top of one of these little giveaway free magazines was the most beautiful grasshopper, a pale green, beautiful
wow.
grasshopper. And I thought, oh, I have to save this guy. So what I did is I very carefully picked up the newspaper, and I walked across the parking lot about, you know, the equivalent of a couple blocks. I crossed a 4-lane highway, and I was holding this little magazine away, so hoping that he wouldn't take off or fall down, you know. But no, he clung onto it like he was my buddy, you know. And I got him to my house, and I came around the side fence and took him to the backyard, and I thought, well, you know, you might be kind of happy in this bush over here. And I kind of put him into the bush, you know, he disappeared in there. I'm sure he was happy until maybe a bird got him or something. And then I went to the house, and I was very satisfied with myself. And I thought, wait a minute, did I just carry that grasshopper about half a mile to my house and let him go? But was that my idea, or was that his idea?
He took a liking to you, and he took a ride with you. You know, when I was in the dorm.
It could have been mind control. You know, maybe grasshoppers.
Maybe it was just your human compassion coming out for him, you know, putting him to some place where he would be happier. You know, and I don't know how, when I was, you know, in college, I was in this really tall dorm building at the U of A in Tucson in the ninth floor. And all of a sudden, in my room was this really, really big praying mantis, this big green praying mantis.
Whoa.
And I didn't want to hurt it.
Was
it was beautiful. I don't know, 4 inches long. He was big, you know, and I didn't want to hurt it. And so,
nope.
you know, I was only one floor down from the roof, you know, and we had a sunbathing deck out there and stuff. And mm-hmm. I captured him in something, you know, that wouldn't hurt him. I captured him, and I carried him up that one flight of stairs up to the roof, and I put him down on this wall, and let him out. And he, you know, he came out. And he turned his head and looked at me for a good couple seconds. And I went, whoa. Because they is communicating with me. Anyway.
Do they crawl or do they? I know they crawl, but do they fly?
It flew away. After it looked at me, it flew away. And, you know, somebody else has told me a similar story that they had a similar thing happen where this thing would look at you. And so, you know, I can't say I've always related well.
I think that maybe we need to rewrite the books on nature, you know, and botany or something, and say that these certain insects are a very high life form. They're very intelligent.
I wasn't always
so magnetic. Influence human beings.
I know. I had one time. I was sitting playing my mandolin, and this cockroach came out of the kitchen. You know, I was in a rented apartment, and this cockroach came out. It sat there, and it was watching me and listening to me play my mandolin. And I couldn't believe it that a cockroach would do such a thing.
And I bet you could not bring yourself to hurt that cockroach, could you? You could not bring yourself.
I'm sorry to say it met its demise. I couldn't stand it. I'm a bug bigot. What do you call it, a bugget? I don't know.
I know, but you realize what you did. You realize what you did. That was a highly evolved cockroach. That was probably the smartest cockroach in the whole house because he had an appreciation for music.
But I didn't want it to multiply.
Alas, it was not a survival instinct. It did not help him in survival at all.
I'm going to have to talk to God about it when I get there. I'm going to have to apologize and ask God someday when I meet my maker. I'm going to have to, that's also the maker of the cockroach, and I'm going to have to ask, you know, what did you mean by these things? And I'm sorry, I didn't appreciate it.
Well, let me just put in a good word. You know, this is very strange, but I have to put in a good word for the cockroach. They've been around for like about 400 or 500 million years, so God let them survive through a couple of big die-offs, you know, the tertiary, whatever they call it, the CK disaster event when 75% of life on Earth was killed. Well, the cockroach survived, you know. The cockroach is a real winner in the eyes of the Almighty, I guess, because he's still here. Strange, but true.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't mind hanging on through the break, I need to take a break right now, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. No, I'd like to.
Okay, just hold on here.
There are a lot of problems with Common Core. I don't even have time to go into most of them. But a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students and get the federal government out of education.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihoods.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade the Motion Picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella's and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that the world government has been identified and they thought they just clawed the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at shadethemotionpicture.com.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them?
This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Hi. So that last ad I thought was pretty interesting, that vaccine rights ebook that you can get at vaccinerights.com, because that was the last thing I really want to touch on that we'll have time to talk about this evening, and that is, you know, the CDC has this new adult vaccine schedule, not just the children's vaccine schedule, but the adult vaccine schedule, and the plan is to get everybody on schedule all the time, you know, for the rest of your life, you know, flu vaccine every year, pneumonia vaccine every year, and on and on. And I got to tell you, that pneumonia vaccine came within an inch of killing my own mother. And so, you know, she's perfectly healthy and got examined by the doctor, perfectly healthy, got her vaccine, and within 24 hours she was on death's door with pneumonia. So there was nobody could deny that that's exactly what happened. So there are, you know, whenever you can just say no, just say no. And there's a video floating around on a video and articles floating around now that, you know, when you go into, you know, emergency rooms or hospitals or whatever the policy is, you know, they need to offer you, that's the policy, they will offer you the flu vaccine and or the pneumonia vaccine. They'll ask you if you're up to date on your shots, and if you say no, they have to offer you these things. And then they give you a bunch of paperwork to sign. Even if you say no, if you don't find the words biologics and biogenics in there, those are code words for the policy vaccines that they're going to offer you. And if you don't find those words and nix them out somehow, right, no vaccine, and initial it on the paperwork, you know, even if you're, you know, out cold for your surgery, you know, you've signed permission if you haven't X'd those out to take those vaccines. And if you don't want them, you have to be really, really clear that you don't want them. You have to find those words in the paperwork and tell them, no, I'm not agreeing to this. And you know, mark it that you're not agreeing to that, and put your initials that you're not agreeing to that particular treatment. And of course, you want to get, you know, whatever treatment you need in the hospital, but the vaccines by policy, by bureaucrats in Washington that have never even met you, they can't tell you you need those things. So you know, anytime you get the opportunity to say no to that, you know, with the schools, I would say, you know, go download this ebook from vaccinerights.com and know your rights. I know there's a couple of states, several states, that if you don't get vaccines, your kids can't go to school. They don't, you know, most states allow a religious exemption or philosophical exemption, and those are right and good, because they really are putting tissue from animals in these things, but also from human aborted fetuses. And, you know, there are a couple of fetal cell lines that they've attenuated over, you know, for many, many years, but they're starting to age. So those aborted fetuses, if they had lived, they'd be in their 50s or 60s now, I think. So they need to find newer ones. And I've heard that they have found some newer lines for their vaccine production. And you know what? There's a lot of people that could say, I have a religious objection to injecting other people's aborted children into my children or into myself. And, you know, so when you have the right to object, you take the right to object. And, you know, those few states that don't give you that right, oh, you only need a medical exemption, and then it's very hard to even find a doctor that will give you a medical exemption. You have to make the decision. You let these people shoot up your kids, or you move out of that state, or you homeschool. And those are your choices. And that's a really hard choice. And there are lawsuits pending about this kind of stuff. And there are people still holding office that are totally for this. There's, you know, bills pending that have been pending at the federal level to mandate this kind of thing. And I think that's part of the reason we're seeing the crazy election cycle that we're seeing this time, because people are just not going to put up with it. And I hope, you know, everybody listening doesn't put up with it, that you just, you know, if you decide you want to take a vaccine, that's up to you. But please, please read the insert, the package insert. There will always be sections about adverse reactions because there is no pharmaceutical product that doesn't have adverse reactions, and you need to know you're taking a risk on any of those things that they list in those reactions. You might well get that ailments that they're talking about. And there are things like, you know, I think a lot of these weird autoimmune diseases come from these vaccine assaults on your immune system. And, you know, I have my theories about some of the big names out there with MS and Parkinson's and ALS and lots of cancers. There's some history that, you know, that you can Google up. There's articles, there's YouTube documentaries on the histories of vaccines causing cancer, and it's not just by chance. And so, you know, I've lost friends to cancer that were awfully, awfully young, and very strange cancers, brain cancers. And some of those might be related to some of the electronic signals that we have surrounded ourselves with. You know, I do watch a lot of BP Earth Watch, another scientific channel that talks about electronic magnetic signals that surround the body. And it could just be that one introduces a cancer virus while the other the magnetic field wherever reduces your ability to fight it. You know, it's just a big confluence of things. And the more you can resist the system, then the better you're going to be. And I understand people with tinfoil hats now. I don't have one myself, but I understand it now. And there are some really beautiful ones on Etsy. Etsy is an online marketplace for people that make handcrafts. There's a lot of knitted stuff and costume making and dressmaking and arts and crafts. And, you know, it's a big craft show in the sky. And there are people making really, really beautiful tinfoil hats. And so I don't have that kind of money. It's a wonderful art piece to look at. If I were going to wear tinfoil hats, I think I would just stuff tinfoil in my cowboy hat or my sun hat or something, and nobody would ever know. But no, I haven't done that, but I understand that line of thinking. So if you've ever done that, you know, some kind of a tinfoil hat like that, maybe give us a call. Maybe there's a couple of people maybe I could get as guests that are very sensitive to the electronic signals that surround us, you know, the electromagnetic fields, the smart meters, the Wi-Fi signals, you know. It's just there are people that are very, very sensitive to that, and I bet that would be a super interesting show. So I should get somebody like that online. So as for the first step to detaching from the system, of course, is to stay away from the GMO foods. Boy, this march against Monsanto last week was fun because there was, you know, us on one side of the street, and you know we had the bands and the music and the cabanas with the shades and the, you know, the drumming circle and you know, and people with their signs along the traffic. And then when the time came, you know, they took their march. I'm not sure exactly what route they took, but it took them, I don't know, half hour or so to do it or more of it. But then we had pro Monsanto people on the other side of the street, pro GMO people, and I'm like, who's pro GMO? I don't understand. And so, you know, people, we were yelling across. Some of our people were yelling, "Who's paying you? Who's paying you?" Of course, they never got an answer. You know, it's kind of like internet trolls who wade into the comment sections of websites or on Facebook. You know, they don't really have an answer for anything. You know, you can throw as much science in your face, in their faces as you want, and they don't care. They don't care. They just call you stupid, call you names, and they're just mean, nasty people. And so you can kind of learn to spot trolls that way, and that's what these people were doing. They were just, you know, yelling and carrying their signs and just being kind of mean and nasty. And so I, you know, it's like, you know, if you have any respect for nature at all, and the wisdom of nature and how everything fits together so perfectly, I'm sorry, even the cockroaches have a purpose somewhere, although I don't understand it, then you have to question GMOs. You know, the world isn't our big tinker toy to take apart and re-piece together again. You know, there was an article in the headlines last week that they've learned to design an entire human genome, and I think the plan is to birth babies with no parents, and that is super, super scary. It's like, what are they designing? And then they'll design you know, these rows and armies of identical people that, you know, I guess they're going to decide that we're all obsolete and get rid of us. I don't know. So this kind of stuff is really scary. You know, I kind of always believe in the uniqueness of every human being, even identical twins. They're unique. They have their own sets of experiences, their own sets of conclusions that they've reached in life and different personalities and all that. Everybody is unique, and that's, you know, a basic religious tenet of some of the major religions out there. And everybody has infinite value. And when you start cranking them out like factory products, that's such a dehumanizing thing. It's just, I wouldn't want to be one of those people. Of course, each one of those is going to have their own life experiences and be unique and stuff like that. But it's still, it's just kind of creepy because somebody else will think they own you because they've written and patented your genome. So, you know, this is how far this is going. You know, I'm sure they're going to redesign entire crops and, you know, it won't just be to make them, you know, resistant to the herbicides, you know, the weed killers. They'll design other features into them. I don't know what those could be, but I don't really want to eat something like that. So so I hope this was a fun episode for you, and you start looking into, you know, even growing your own gardens. Because it's, you know, the more of us that do that, the less power the system has on you and these crazy scientists out there that are, you know, going so far as to weaponize the food supply and the medicine and things like that. And it's not just vaccines. There's, you know, pharmaceuticals that are really, really dangerous. Now there's some statistics coming out that statins actually contribute to Alzheimer's because it's removing fat from your system and your brain needs fat. Your brain is made out of mostly fat. And so you've got to be really, really careful with everything they prescribe for you to put in your mouth or inject into you. So be careful. Always look at these things with a skeptical eye and research. The world is a wonderful place with this internet and the ability to find information. And some of it the government itself puts out. You can get these package inserts, right, from the FDA website. So you always want to read everything that's prescribed for you, particularly every vaccine, because it's just an injection into your system that interferes with your immune system. And it's not necessarily something you want to do if you're currently in a healthy state. So with that, I'll sign off, and I'll thank you for listening. And I'll join you again next week.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.